Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Can I start this message before we look at any passage of Scripture and say this? Nobody deserves heaven. There's not a man on this earth that deserves to go to heaven or merits heaven. That's why we need the grace of God. That's why we have the mercy of God. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of grace and mercy. None of us deserve it. And I see that as we read here in this first chapter of the book of 1 John. And thank the Lord. And it's great to be a Christian. We have a substitute. We have an advocate. We have a mediator. We have a redeemer. We have a savior. It's Jesus Christ the righteous that bridged that chasm of sin between sinful man and holy God. Nobody is going to go to heaven and say, I merited this place. That's not how it works. Heaven is not a reward. You don't earn salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible tells us in Titus and chapter 3 in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. So none of us are going to heaven because of something we have done, or some pedigree, spiritual pedigree, or people loving us, or gaining the favor of men. That's not how it works. And 1 John addressed this little letter that the aged John wrote at the end of his ministry addresses this. God has placed within man a desire for life. That's why we call it self-preservation, whatever it is. But we have a desire for life. In this book, 1 John speaks of this desire, this living life to its fullest, and living and having eternal life as well. It's in this book, he says, these things write I unto you, chapter 5, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. If you go to a church and nobody knows for sure they're on their way to heaven, and they think, well, that would be arrogant, they are not preaching the Bible. I know I'm going to heaven. Other people here this morning know they're going to heaven. How many people know they're going to heaven? Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, you say, that's arrogant. No, it's not. Because we know we are not going because of ourselves. We're going because of our Jesus, our Savior. And John said this, these things have I written unto you. If you ever doubt your salvation, 1 John, man, you read that. These things have I written unto you that ye might know ye have eternal life. Another thing he said in this book of 1 John, these things write I unto you that your joy might be full. Man, we are to live eternal life starting the day I got saved. And it's a sure thing. We know we're going to live forever in God's heaven because of the righteousness of Christ and not because of something we have done ourselves. That, by the way, again, you're in a church that teaches, man, that is a false church. You're teaching works salvation. You're teaching works to hang on to salvation. You're forgetting what Jesus did at Calvary. That you're forgetting the gospel, the good news that Jesus paid the price for our sin, that Jesus fulfilled the law. Man, you're in the wrong church. But understand this. We are to live. We have eternal life. John says, I'm writing you this book so there's no confusion. I'm writing you this last letter to you so there's no confusion, that you might know you have eternal life and that your joy might be full. By the way, how could you have joy if you might lose your salvation this afternoon?
Yeah.
I'm a sinner. If I have to hold to a holy standard in order to maintain God, and in order to maintain my salvation, man, I'm going to hell right now. I sinned yesterday. There was some way I committed a sin of omission. There was some way I spoke a misunderstood word, an evil word. There was some way I mistreated somebody yesterday. How could I lay my head on my pillow? How could my joy be full? How could I understand the grace of God if I think I've got to hang on to my salvation? And if you know a passage, you think you know a passage that teaches you can lose your salvation, you better talk to me afterwards. And so many passages are taken out of context. It's either grace or nothing. Yeah. It's either the mercy of God or we've got nothing. Amen. This is either the word of God, preserved by God, or we've got nothing. It's pure and simple. So here he says, I want you to know you're going to live forever and you have eternal life, and I want you to enjoy the trip all along the way. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now John is testifying here and says, listen, I heard him, I saw him, I even touched him. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. You understand? John is saying, I am an eyewitness. I have seen Jesus. I have heard him. I even touched him. And I want you to know, I, John, the aged one, the same John that's going to write the book of Revelation from the island of Patmos. I want you to be assured it is a no-so salvation, and you can live life to the fullest while you're here on this earth. You say, preacher, how can you be upbeat in the day and age in which we live? Look how corrupt our nation is. Look how corrupt politics is. Look what a failure man is worldwide. Because I know that Jesus is coming back. Amen. And I know that when my last heartbeat takes place, I open my eyes in the presence of God. Evangelist Brother Jeff Farnham, he's in God's heaven right now. He woke up yesterday on this earth. He is in God's heaven right now. That old boy beat us to heaven. He got there. No regrets. Man, he was a true servant of God. We're going to miss him. He says, verse 3, let's read on. That which we have seen and heard, declare. We're proclaiming it right now. Declare we unto you that, or in order that, is actually the Greek word there, ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying, I'm telling you, you can know you're saved, and this life can be a good life if you'll surrender to God. Now, I'll get ahead of myself in the message. I got to be careful. Otherwise, I get all confused up here. Verse 4 says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Man, it's a good life. And to know you're on your way to heaven, to know how it's going to end in the end, man, that's a good deal. Could you imagine playing a game of football and being part of a team and wanting to win so bad and knowing ahead of time you're going to win? Man, you could enjoy that first quarter. You could enjoy the second quarter. Oh, man, dislocated my shoulder in the third quarter. You can still enjoy it. You can stand around there with a smile on your face. This could have turned out all right. Verse 5 says, and then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It's no in one day and out the next. It's no up one day and down the next. Jesus is our rock. It says in the Psalms 12 times, he is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our tower of strength. John here is saying, no doubts. No doubts at all. Let me read that short little verse again. If we say that we have fellowship with him, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Paul said to the church of Corinth, God is not the author of confusion. You know who is? The serpent in the garden that said, hath God said? Did God really say that? Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, there's a problem. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from how much of our sin? All sin. Verse 8 again says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Light and darkness have no communion. The Apostle Paul said that as well. It is black and it is white. The devil confuses things. My flesh confuses things. I want to address a couple of things concerning salvation this morning. And there are people that are confused today because they got saved and they left the Bible. They don't believe you could possibly know you're on your way to heaven. They got saved, they received the gift, and they left the Bible. They do not read their Bible. They do not study their Bible. They don't listen to Bible preaching. And so they're void of the Bible. There are others that are babes in Christ and they're just struggling. Again, I want to tell you, you don't believe something because the preacher says it. Get in your Bible. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. Let the Bible build your faith. You'll come to the same conclusion of thousands and tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of the saints of God, that same conclusion they came to before you. He says here in verse 9, if we confess our sins, because there is a sin problem, even after you get saved, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And the truth, the word, is not in us. No self-righteousness here. We have a forever Savior. And he saves us all of the way. Just a quick word of testimony. Fifth grade, got born again. I was saved all the way. I knew nothing of the word of God. But I was saved all the way. Jesus washed away my sin. Every sin that I was going to commit in the future, it was nailed to the cross. It was taken care of when I was down on my knees and asked Jesus for forgiveness of sins and to come into my heart and be my Savior. And this might shake you because we are so linear thinking. Every sin Tim Rader ever committed was in the future from the cross. Every single one of them. And it's under the blood. He forgives us of all our sins. What a great Savior. What a wonderful salvation. It is a great life when you serve God. You don't carry the weight of your own sin on your shoulders when you serve God. And you're right with God. You walk with God. Verse 10 again says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. I'm doing a dangerous thing. I'm skipping ahead in my sermon here. Verse 11. Sometimes you can't fight God though. It says, and this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in his son. No mistake who that is. He that hath a son hath life. He that hath not the son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the son of God. A couple of things here. He said, you can know. He said, I have given you the book. I have given you the Bible so that you can know you have. What kind of life? What kind of life is used here in the word of God? What's the word? Eternal. Forever. If I can have eternal life, and it starts right now in fifth grade as a little 8, 9-year-old boy, and I get born again, if I can have eternal life, and it's a gift given to me right now, right then, and I can lose it when I'm in seventh grade, how could that life have been eternal? Did God use the wrong word over and over again in the word of God? Dr. Gleason. He was on staff here for a while, and he's in heaven. And I remember him, and he was an old Moody Bible Institute guy from the old days. Man, he died how many years ago now? 20 years ago, 30 years ago? And he went to the Moody Bible Institute, and he was well into his high 80s when he passed away. It might have been in the 90s, I don't even know. But I remember him, he said, you know, I don't like to use the word eternal security. I said, well, why is that? Because it's eternal life. It's eternal life. That is security. I said, you know, that's a little deeper than I normally think. And that's exactly right. God doesn't give to us temporary life. He gives to us forever life. You know why that is? He's a forever Savior. Well, let me just make a couple of real quick points. Number one, I've already preached this, and I don't want to beat it to death, but I just want to say it in a couple. You know, every once in a while you'll read of a preacher that falls into sin. It happens. By the way, teachers fall into sin too, more than preachers, right? Government officials fall into sin more than preachers. It's the devil, he just raises that standard, or he tries to elevate when it, but you do hear of it from time to time. And a church is brokenhearted. A woman who was once bubbling and on fire for God, somehow she got hurt along the way and she gets bitter and she becomes destructive. A man receives Christ as his Savior and his life is totally changed. Over a period of time, the fellows at work invite him out for a drink. Or maybe, you know what, it's legal now. You can have some of this wacky tobacco. We used to call them stoners, and they were. They ended up stoners. But I guess that's not politically correct anymore. But, you know, you forget the Bible. This one time won't hurt. You know, you just go ahead and you kind of do these things. And people fall away from God. But if they were genuinely born again, what they have become is a carnal Christian. They don't lose their salvation. Now, if they weren't born again, that's a different thing. You know, if they never were genuinely saved, that's a different thing. There's only two kinds of people in this world. That's lost and saved. That is it, all right? But there is such a thing as a carnal Christian, and that's why it's addressed so much in the New Testament. And the Word of God tells us you cannot lose your salvation. Go to John chapter 6 and verse 37. I'll just quote it. Go to John chapter 10. Whosoever cometh to me shall come to me. He that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That is Jesus in John in chapter 6 and verse 37. It says here in John in chapter 10 and verse 27, by the way, if they got saved, they got saved all the way.
Yeah.
Their name is recorded. It says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. Not everybody that says they're saved is saved. Remember that. That's a rub. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. That's what Paul said. And I give unto them, what kind of life did Jesus say he would give?
Eternal.
I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They'll never perish. Never, 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 never. It's the Greek word ionesis. Never, never, never. Same word used to describe heaven, same word used to describe hell. They will never, never perish. I give unto them my sheep. I give them eternal life. Eternal life. What a wonderful truth that is. God does not abort his children. There's no such animal as being unborn. Just think this through just a little bit. Instead of using your human reasoning without heavenly insight and say there's no such thing as a free lunch, therefore if I disappoint God, I lose my salvation. You think about what sin causes you to lose your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. You can rest in that. And I promise you this, you read your Bible, your doubts will starve. They will. If you're not saved, you better get saved. You better get born again. So when you sin, you don't lose your salvation. But when you sin, you lose your joy. Let's go to Psalm 51 before we go back to 1 John. Psalm 51, verses 10, 12, and 8. Let me read them. Hear the repentant psalmist. King David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. He says in verse 8, I didn't read verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He says, this is an Old Testament saint. He calls out to God and says, God, help me to love you like I used to love you. God, help me to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then I can testify to everybody round about me. You cannot lose your salvation as a Christian, but you can lose your joy. You can be out of fellowship with God. That is what John is addressing. He said, don't say you don't have sin. We all have sin. Don't say you walk in the light when you're walking in the darkness. Don't go there. But he said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't want to lose your joy. Turn over to Psalm 63. We covered this in a Wednesday night. Verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness, I love this, is better than life. And my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. He goes on, he talks about his cup runs over. Life is good if you'll walk with God. You walk with the music of the world, you're going to become vile and corrupt. I've been there. So many of us, we have been there. We know, man. You can't lose your salvation. All right, number one. Number two, you can lose your joy. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew and chapter 26, verse 34. When a Christian sins, can't lose their salvation. God doesn't lose any of his children. That's not how it works. He doesn't abort any of his children. God doesn't damn any of his children to hell. He knows we're sinners. That's why he sent his son. And his son paid for our sin at Mount Calvary. You got born again. You're born into the family of God. You believe the God. But you're part of the family of God. You're going to live forever. But if you sin, you lose your joy. Isaiah 59, sin separates us from God. We become like the prodigal son in a land distant from God. We don't even hear the Holy Spirit in our lives because we get that far away from God. So you lose your joy. You become, that explains a lot of sour-faced Christians. That explains a lot of Christians that want to fight all the time. That explains a lot of ugly attitudes in the family and in God's family as well. Because they're out of sorts with God. And so they're walking in the flesh. So you can lose your joy. But as a Christian, when you sin, you're convicted. You're convicted. So here's Peter, verse 34. Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said, oh, not me, God. I'll die before I deny you. Jesus was right, as he always is. Peter denies him three times. He's ashamed. Verse 69, a Christian cannot sin and enjoy it. He says in verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone, he was scared of a little girl. And when he was gone out into the church, another maid saw him and said unto them that were with them, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Verse 73 says, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. There's nobody as conflicted, beat up, and pitiful as a child of God that knows they're on their way to heaven and they're living like the world. Conviction, knot in the stomach, sweaty palms. Sometimes during the preaching, they shake. They don't like preaching of the Bible preaching. Last place they want to be. It's conviction. They know they're living wrong and doing wrong, and they don't enjoy it. And be thankful you're convicted. Because if you don't respond to Holy Spirit conviction, because you can get cold and you can get that way, and you no longer respond to conviction of the Holy Spirit, then what's next is chastisement. And I want you to, and we ought to, together, we ought to thank God for the fact that he keeps us close with his strong hand of correction. We don't have time to go to Hebrews 12. I wish we had time. Where the writer of the book of Hebrews said, if you can sin and you get away with it and you don't receive chastisement from the hand of God, you are spiritually a bastard. You have no father in heaven. That is an indicator that you're not born. If you can get away with sin, that's a bad red flag. Now, if you're sinning and you're convicted of the Holy Spirit, that's a good thing. And you're still within the listening voice of the Holy Spirit, man, you surrender to God before you get cold. Because if you get cold, then there's going to be chastisement. The word, the woodshed, or the wooden box. I preached that outline one time, but it wasn't original with me. The old preacher preached that by the name of Tom Malone in Pontiac, Michigan, to Christians. It's the word. You hear the word of God, you get convicted, you change. Or it's the woodshed. God takes you to the woodshed. You don't listen, it's the wooden box, the coffin. We don't have time to go there. 1 John chapter 5 talks about there is a sin unto death. Where a Christian who's saved by grace is convicted, they lose their joy, they're convicted by the Holy Spirit, they don't respond. Pretty soon God chastises them, they don't respond. Timeline's different for everybody, they don't respond. Then God takes them home. Early. Not what God had planned. He had so much more planned for his child. But because they're bringing shame and reproach on the name of Christ, God just takes them home. John said in this very same letter, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for that. People that make a mockery of the grace of God. What happens when a Christian sins? They're convicted. They're really a Christian. They're really born again. They're convicted. If they don't listen, then they're chastised. If they don't listen, and God takes him home. But it all can be fixed with one word, confession. Look what it says here back again in 1 John. 1 John and chapter 1. Just look at verse 9. Here it is, the word confession. If we confess our sins, plural, and the Textus Receptus and the majority text, it's plural. That talks about me staying right with God. If we confess, confess means to agree with God. I know what that was, God. That was immorality. God, I know what that was. That was hatred. God, I know what, I'm guilty. I know what that was. That was sin. And that was unholy, and I transgressed against you. For confessing your sins isn't smiling out one side of your mouth and confessing out of the other side and saying, God bless me, for I've sinned. That's not how it works. That's not it. Confession of sin is agreeing with God about my personal sin. It says, if we confess our sins, John writing to Christians, if, he said, same Christians, beloved, we have an advocate. Beloved, we have a go-between. If we confess our sins, concluding himself, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whosoever covereth his sins shall not prosper. Did I preach that last Sunday morning? There's not a lot of repenting going on in the family of God. It's too much casual Christianity. There's not a lot of old-time religion where we have a fear of God. You know, there are a lot of things that I did not do growing up because I was afraid of my dad. He taught me right and wrong, and he chastised me, believe me. He never read a book that said you weren't supposed to spank your kids. Man, he wasn't a good reader anyway. And man, I don't even know if Dr. Spock was on the scene yet at that time. And he just, I think he maybe felt that he could wail that sin nature out of me. I don't know. Not only did he spank me, I was spanked with everything that was within reach, right? And I was not only spanked by him, I was spanked by every aunt and uncle in my family. Every single one of them, some of them are still alive, and they could testify to that. Oh yeah, I spanked Chip. Oh yeah, yeah. I was the oldest cousin. Boy, right here's where the buck stopped all too often. Even when my little brother got me in trouble. All right. So what I was trying to say is simply this. There were a lot of decisions that I made when I was in high school. Hey, we're having a beer party tonight. Come on out. And even if I was tempted to, I wouldn't do it. Because I had to face the steely eyes of my dad. And I'm telling you, if you were afraid of your daddy, you'd have sinned a whole lot less as well. And I do have a fear of my Father in heaven. And he does see everything. He even sees my thinking. He knows what's in my heart. And I have a fear, great respect, a fear of God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Writer Hebrews said that. It's a fearful thing. And what's happening is in the family of God, with the modern day casual Christianity, there's no fear. There's very little fear of God. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I know there's some good things going on there. But as a whole, no repentance. Did you repent of any sin this last week? Hey, church, did you commit any sin this last week? Well, yeah, sure did. Was there any repentance that's gone on? Whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. You can't sweep it under the rug. You'll lose your joy. You might get past that knot in your stomach. But I preached to men that during the altar call. I've actually seen some over the years where they grip the pew in the front of them. And you can see their knuckles turning white because they don't want to respond. Man, don't get that way in the family of God. Let's stay clean before God. Again, can't lose your salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. Make sure you're saved. If you're saved, you're saved. You're saved and you do wrong, man, there's going to be, God's going to send a message your way and there's going to be conviction. And if there's not conviction, there's going to be chastisement. How's everything going in your life? And if there's not chastisement, it might be the wooden box. So, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm preaching Bible. 1 John chapter 5. God has so much for you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.